Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and I tell you, this module, it's the module on angels. I've been so excited about this module. Now, every one of them is wonderful. I mean, I just love studying the book of Acts. But I believe that as we get into this module, you and I are going to come out of here going, you know what? I'm not alone. I need to rise up on a new level of boldness, knowing that God is with me and his angels have been sent to help me. Boy, there's nothing I can't do. So let me open in a word of prayer, and then let's go into the ministry of angels in the book of Acts. And remember, when you go to our website at www.foursmiles.com, go up and click on School of Acts, and in that, under each module, there's going to be the chapter of the book where you can look at the notes and you can continue to study. I think you need to continue to study and get this message on the inside of you. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Acts. We don't believe it's a history book only. Father, we know it's the blueprint of the church. And Father, tonight, right now, as we do this video, I pray that the Holy Spirit, like a county supervisor, a building supervisor, would come in and begin to look at what's being built into us to make corrections so that our faith can move forward and bear fruit. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, there are over 300 mentions of angels in the Bible. When you look at this topic, God was never hiding the ministry of angels. The ministry of angels throughout the Bible is quite a study, and is quite exhaustive. In short, angels are used in a variety of ministry. They give messages, they deliver, they fight battles, and they perform judgments. And in some certain situations, they cook food, as it was with Elijah. In heaven, there are armies that ride horses. The Bible says it. And there are divisions that ride in chariots. Did you know that? There are chariots. And in fact, the prophet of God prayed that the servant would see, and he saw the fiery armies of God, the chariots of God. And they're there. And just remember, it was a chariot of fire that came down and picked up Elijah. So these are realities. They're not just creative, nice little, comic book stories. This is a reality in the realm of the spirit, just right there. You can't see it. But as we operate in faith in the Word of God, as we pray and walk in communion with the Lord, these ministers of God are sent to help us. And it may look at sometimes like we're the underdog, but let me tell you, if we don't back down, if we don't quit, we're going to get the breakthrough, because there's more with us than with them. And always remember that. Okay, so let's continue. In the book of Revelation, we see that angels differ in size and ability. And, of course, we have these references on the notes. But some angels are notably huge. They're tall. I mean, they come down and one foot goes on land, the other foot goes in the water. And they've got rainbows and clouds around them. And one angel even stands in the sun. And the power and the energy of the sun has no ability against him. Now, angels are spirits, they're ministers of God, but they're also, they have to be full of fire. Because when that angel came down into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, let me tell you, the fire had no power, had no ability. So the fire of God is greater than natural fire. And there are times where the fire of God has a precedence that takes away the natural power of fire, just the presence of God. So, wow, that's quite a study. But angels are real. Now, in Abraham's life, the Lord and two angels walked into his camp and they ate with him. Can you believe that? They walked in and they ate. Now, these two angels with the Lord, they look like men. They talk like men. They ate like men. And they were the size of normal men. But as the residents of Sodom found out, they were not normal men. No, they had some authority. And so they had been given authority to call down fire and brimstone upon the whole region. These heavenly ministers obey the commands of the Lord. They listen to the voice of his word and do what has been directed from the throne of God, whether for blessing or whether for judgment. In short, the creation of angels and their ministry came out of the heart of a loving God. Isn't that amazing? Though it was out of the artistry of the loving Creator that these beings came, it was the creation of man that was different. And it brought forth a depth of God's love that creation had never seen. Now, I want you to think about that. How amazing angels are, but man is totally on a different level. And it took man, this creation of man, that brought forth something that's very visible in the realm of the spirit. It's called the love of God. A love that is on a level that the universe and creation had never seen. So you need to think more highly about yourself, because you're really loved. You're loved on a level that those angels can't even conceive. Okay? Now let's look at that. Man who has never seen the face of God was created in the image of God to be the sons of God, children. Amazing. Without seeing the face of God, man was given a planet, what, Earth, to learn to develop and to harness the power of its wealth, and by faith, love the Lord and walk pleasing before him. Now, think about that. The angels see God. They're in heaven. They come from heaven and they come and go. They're real. But man doesn't see the face of God yet. Man is on a planet called Earth, the footstool of the throne of God. And here we are, we're given authority and blessing in order to take hold of this planet, in order to build upon it, in order to bear fruit, and to love God, worship him, and to pray to him. Now, when it comes to these angels, I mean, as we delve into this study, it's important to understand that angels marvel at the creation of man. The great psalmist, he penned the words, "What is man that you're mindful of him?" When you look at this, I wonder what the angels thought when the Creator himself took on flesh and blood, lowered himself, and became a man to die at the hands of man in order to purchase man. Man who had never seen God, man that was wicked. I sit back and I think, what were they thinking? Ever think about that? What the angels thought? And then the angels look at man and seemingly a weak creation, but in another way, they look at man who's not seen God, and we love God, we seek to please God, and to love each other. So angels are really, they're at a quandary here at this creation called man who the Father loves so much. So listen, without any further ado, let's get into this study and think about the ministry of angels. Because let me tell you, the day's coming, we're going to be in heaven and you're going to see on a whole new level with clarity these mighty ministers of God. So let's go. Let's go to number one, Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Now, this is going to be the first example, account of where the angels of God come directly and minister to the church for the first time. And let's read it. And while they stood and looked steadfastly towards heaven as the Lord went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. They said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." Jesus declared at the beginning of his ministry that angels would be ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John 1:51. Now, when he said that, he didn't say the Son of God, did he? No, he said the Son of Man. He was identifying himself with humanity. And so he said, he wasn't hiding, that the angels of God would be actively involved from the throne of God coming down and helping him as a man. Now, it's important to note that because the body of Christ is made up of men. We're made up of flesh and blood. So with that, we understand that as the Lord ascends back into heaven, not just as Son of God, he's still a man. So we have the confidence as men, as his body, that this ministry of angelic servants and angelic laborers are going to be helping us just like they assisted the Lord. Now let's look at this. In the first chapter in church history, isn't that amazing? In the very first chapter of Acts, God wasn't hiding it. He put angels right out there. It was the Lord. It was the Lord's body, his disciples, and the angels were right there. church history, that two angels were standing with the Lord as he commissioned his disciples. Thus, we see that heaven was not trying to hide the ministry of angels and their role in assisting the church. As the Lord ascended, the disciples stood there with their mouths open in wonder and amazement. That's, you and I would have been no different. And it was at this moment that the angels performed their first act of ministry to the newly formed church. With the Lord taking his rightful place in heaven, the angels and the church were established in the earth to perform the will of the Father. The angels had been ministering with the Lord for 3 years of extremely exciting but intense battles against the powers of darkness. Now, think about that. Jesus said to the disciples, you're going to see angels coming and going. And Jesus was, he was involved in some pretty major, conflicts with darkness. And these angels were coming and going. And let me tell you, it was exciting to be in the move of God. Can you imagine being on a hillside with thousands of people and then the gifts of healings come down on Jesus and he heals everybody? He starts laying hands on people. Let me tell you, angels were coming down and they were stirring the waters of the glory of God around Jesus as he was laying hands on people and the Father God was healing them. These angels were coming and going and they were establishing the kingdom of God through the ministry of the Son of Man. Now, the angels had been ministering with the Lord 3 years, exciting ministry. And now the Lord was returning and these battle-proven angels, ministers were now delivering a very important message to those standing there as well as to us. This message that they have wasn't just for them. It was for everybody throughout the centuries and the generations who would come, and it's pertaining to the Lord's return. He is coming back exactly as you watched him go. Now, I love this. These angels, two angels. In fact, when you study throughout the Bible, for example, Abraham's camp, the Lord walked into the camp with two angels. And then in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees the Lord standing above the waters, and there's two angels. And then in the Gospels, it talks about there's Jesus. He's risen from the dead, and there's two angels inside the tomb. And now as the Lord ascends back to heaven, two angels are standing there. Now, you know, you can't preach a doctrine off this, but I would have to imagine that there are two key angels that minister directly. I mean, they're like the aides, the Lord's personal aides, helping him to do what he does. Oh, can you imagine that? Now, when you read Acts chapter 1, those angels didn't just show up. They had been standing there. And but, you know, you and I, our focus would be on the Lord, just like the apostles. They were paying attention to the Lord. I mean, let me tell you, the armies of heaven are amazing, but the King, the Lord of hosts, the general of those armies, is even much more amazing. And so when he's present, you're not paying attention to angels. They'll be there, but you're paying attention to him. And so the Lord goes up to heaven, and these two angels are standing there, and then they deliver to the church the first message. It's a word of wisdom. It's speaking forth of things that are to come, and it reveals a piece of information. Just as you saw him go, he's coming back. And so we see that angels can be used under the power of the Holy Ghost in order to see and to deliver messages that pertain to the wisdom of God of future events. So, oh, wow. So that's number one. Now let's go to number two here. The Lord's angel opens the prison doors. Now, the second act of ministry of the angels found in the book of Acts, it was a deliverance. Deliverance from prison. Now, let's Acts chapter 5, verse 19. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. He brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Now, this is very powerful because there's two things that happened here. Angels behold the face of the Father, and from the throne of his glory, they're sent. Now, Matthew 18, verse 10 talks about little ones, that they have angels, and that those angels are constantly beholding the face of the Father. You have to understand something. The angels that are sent to minister to us, they're coming directly from the face of the Father. Sometimes I say, "Lord, I receive the ministry of angels bringing the glory of your face." You ever been locked in a battle and you just need a little bit of encouragement? Well, sometimes it's good to begin to speak those scriptures concerning the ministry of angels, because they're coming from the face of the Father. Even Jesus, when he was, you know, in temptation, the Bible says the angels came and they ministered to him. Or in his passion in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angel came down and simply touched him. That angel was coming from the face of the Father. Now, listen, in this passage, the angel Lord endued with God's faith and power. Can you believe that? Oh, wow. He walked into the prison and he delivered the apostles out. Now, the apostles did nothing for their deliverance. That was an operation of the gift of faith. They received it done. They didn't do it. They were receiving the power of God coming in and taking them out. And many times, this power and this faith is in operation by these heavenly ministers, okay, called angels. Okay, so the apostles did nothing for their deliverance. They simply received the power of God working on their behalf. After delivering the Lord's apostles, the angel of the Lord then ministered a word of wisdom to them concerning the direction of God for their ministry. He simply said, "Go," that's a direction, "speak," "stand and speak." Sorry, don't sit down. Stand and speak. And so the Holy Spirit also uses these ministers of the Lord in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Truly, the apostles were tasting of the powers of the world to come. Hebrews 2 and 5, Hebrews 6 and 5. Oh, can you imagine? Here they are in jail. It was persecution. And this angel walks in right from the face of the Father God himself. And the power of God is just in manifestation. Doors are opening. The apostles go out. And then the angel is now operating in a word of God's wisdom, and he's releasing direction, wisdom of the mind of God, into what is the will of God, the direction of God. Now, there wasn't much else given. It was simply go, that's a direction, stand, and speak. Go right back. Now, I want you to think about that. If you are someplace and you get apprehended by the authorities and you go to jail, first of all, if you get supernaturally set free from jail, or even if you escape, I mean, either one, you're not going to go back to the scene of the crime or the scene of where they said a crime happened. You're going to go somewhere else. So that's how you see where the mind of the Lord came in order to change what their natural mind would have told them to do. Go back, stand, and speak. That's a word of God's wisdom. It's insight into the will and the plans of God, okay? So that's what they did. So that's the second place where we see the ministry of angels. The first one, a message concerning the Lord's return. This time, they're bringing a deliverance, and with that deliverance, they're bringing another message, direction. Wow. Let's go to number three here. The Lord's angel gives Philip new direction. Acts 8, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Okay, now this one's very important that we lay a little bit of a foundation to as we look at it. And I want you to think about this. When Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, John chapter 3, the Lord began to speak directly to his heart concerning his need, man's need, of being born again. In his sermon to this ancient scribe of Israel, Jesus likens the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation to the moving of the wind. I'm quite sure that the Lord remembered walking into the Garden of Eden on that fateful day, seeking Adam and Eve, in order to impart a message of hope concerning their salvation. Now, the Bible says that he came during the cool of the day, so it is here. In the life and times of Philip the evangelist, where a wind of salvation was blowing towards Ethiopia. Now, I want you to think about this. Let me slow down. The operation of salvation is not from man. God uses man. But salvation is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Man cannot get into the heart of another man. Only the Spirit of God who can go in and he can weigh and work in the very depths of a man's understanding. So Jesus said, when it comes to man's salvation, it's like the wind. You know, you hear it, it comes and it goes. You see the effects of it. You can't control it, and you can't, you know, always choose where it's going to come from. Well, God's wind of salvation was targeting Ethiopia. Nobody knew about that. Only God did. But God needed this evangelist, Philip. He was in the heart of a revival, a move of God, signs and wonders. People were coming to Christ, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. And God's wind is going to now target over to Ethiopia. Now, Philip, in his natural mind, he doesn't want to leave revival and an outpouring of God. So God sends an angel down in order to give him a word of God's wisdom, a word of direction, into the mind and the purposes of God. Remember, the Lord was targeting Ethiopia, not Philip. It took a word of God's wisdom, a simple word, arise, go down to the desert, go down to a certain place. And that was it. The Lord didn't give him any more information. What did Philip do? Well, obedience is better than sacrifice. He immediately packed his bags and went exactly to where the angel had commanded him to go. Well, you know the story. Once he gets down there, he sees a man in a chariot reading the book of the prophet of Isaiah. right at that point, the Bible says that the Spirit spoke to him. Now, I don't know what spirit spoke to him. I'm going to say it's the Holy Spirit, because I would think if it was the angel, it would say the angel said to him. But I think it's very important to note there are times where God uses an angel for something, just to jar something and to give enough of an information to get our attention. But we're still dependent upon the word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit confirming that word in on the inside of us. And so we cannot get into this thing where we're just wanting angels to do it. That's not how the Lord does it all the time. He wants us as his children to be dependent upon his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now, could the Holy Spirit have spoke to him the same message that the angel gave? Yes. So why did the Lord use an angel? Because he wants to. It's his prerogative. He can do it. I mean, they're simply ministers of the Lord, just like you and me. Why does the Lord use us? Because he wants to. He gets great joy. And you know what? When we obey him and see what he does, we get great joy too. And guess what the angels do too? When the angel comes and delivers that message and all of a sudden Philip obeys, the angel's happy. He's like, the guy did it. They're probably used to many people not doing it. And so I'm sure it brings them great joy as well. So all of a sudden, they're out there. The Holy Spirit speaks to Philip. He joins the chariot. He begins to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then they get to the strategic place. There's some water. And the Ethiopians, can I be baptized? And Philip doesn't go, yes. He answers very wisely. He says, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God with all of your heart? So here we see, Philip wasn't trying to push him into salvation. He was allowing that man's heart to rise up in faith to take hold of something. We have to be very careful that when we're preaching the gospel, that we're not making people do what we want, but that we're working with their faith to get them with their own heart to want salvation. Well, they get down into the water, and let me tell you, that was a God-ordained place. That was a God-ordained move. That was a special place, preordained, I believe, before creation, where God saw that puddle of water, that pool of water. How many people had walked by that day, camels going here, camels going there? Maybe some stopped and drank there. Nobody sensed anything special. But when those two divinely appointed people showed up and that baptism happened, there was such a wind of God's Spirit that opened up into Ethiopia. Think about it. It was very important that the Ethiopian was baptized, because now when he goes back to Ethiopia, he's going to preach Jesus Christ and baptism. Very important. And why was that important? Because all of a sudden, as that move of God is heading to Ethiopia, that wind of God supernaturally takes Philip and moves him out and drops him down at Azotus. Now, there's a lot of things happening in this place, but I want you to think about that pool, a divinely appointed place where the Spirit of God moves and there's a combustion of parts and pieces that come together, and all of a sudden, boom, this move of God goes in different directions, bringing tremendous results. I mean, it's quite amazing. But think about it. In closing, think about it. This eunuch went back to Ethiopia with a very strong doctrine. Why? Because the guy that baptized him showed up out of nowhere, right? And then he disappears. I mean, the Spirit of God takes him. Thus, I mean, marking this Ethiopian with Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you must be baptized. That was the message he carried. That was enough at that time to be preached throughout Ethiopia. And then later on, the power of God came down there with the Lord's apostles. But we won't get into that. But the point is, we looked at these first three operations of angels. And I think it's very important to note that this work in the earth is not dependent only on the church, even more so on the evangelist. In this last example, Philip was only one third. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of angels were two thirds of the equation. So how important is it for a church with focus, with vision, pressing in prayer and understanding, making room for the supernatural to operate so that our steps are directed? Let me tell you, Philip played a very small part in this, a very important part, but a very small part. This was a move of God's Spirit. And you know, we got to say, God, what part do I play? I don't want to play at all, because I'm not supposed to play at all, but I've got something I've got to do in this move of God, especially in the day and age that we live in now. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot of evil people. It looks like everywhere you turn, there's evil people. You know, this is the time to get real hot as the church of the living God, to rise up and be manifested sons of the living God and believe for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of angels sent from the throne to help us as we move forward in the plan of God. Now let's stop there for this part. This is part one. We're in the module for angels, the ministry of angels in the book of Acts. And so get the notes, go over the notes, and we're going to pick up in the second part of this module. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you've spoken into us and what you're developing into us. In Jesus' name, bless my friends and heal their bodies if they need a little touch of God right now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. A lot of information there. Get trained. There's evangelism training and there's the School of Acts. So go there. Listen, we love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.